Let's all stand up. We will sing "To God Be the Glory." To God be the glory. Brother Hart, can you swing that door shut right there, please? Thank you.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to God.
John, a bottle of water for him.
Great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
Good to see you here this evening. I'll mention some folks in a few moments. And then in a little bit, I'm going to ask a couple of guys to come up and pray. We've got a bunch of folks sick and some that's in the hospital that we really want to keep in prayer. But I'll mention those in just a moment. Don't forget to continue to pray for them, not just tonight while we're at church, but when you get home tonight, tomorrow morning. I have found that when it was someone that I loved, I thought about them a lot more often than if it was someone else's loved one. And I mentioned that I also learned that from the funeral with Mrs. Block, and I went to Betty and apologized after Mrs. Block had died. I said, I'm sorry. I still ask her, try to ask her every week, but I used to ask her a little bit more often than that if everything was going okay. But I realized that the death of a loved one, especially someone you've been close to that long, doesn't go away in a few days or a few weeks or even, for that matter, a few months. So continue to keep our loved ones in prayer. We've got a lot of folks that are sick. So I'm going to pray. You can be seated. Then we'll have a couple of our guys come up and pray for the folks that are sick. Lord, bless this time we have together this evening. I ask, Lord, that You might take care of our loved ones, Lord, their family. Lord, we got some that's sick at home. We got some that's in the hospital. Lord, we pray that You just take care of them. And then, Lord, the loved ones that are concerned about their loved ones that's sick or in the hospital. I pray, Lord, You just meet with us and I speak through Nick to us. And I pray, Lord, that You give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, Brother Milliken. I'm going to have you come up in a moment. Sean, if you will, what was I going to have Sean do? You're not any help either. Okay, I had the thought, and it passed. Sean, I'll think about what it was I had you going to do in just a second when I remember it. But Brother Milliken, if you'll come up in a moment. And then also, Brother Mike, I'm going to pick on you as well tonight. Won't you come on up in a minute? I'm going to have you pray. Here's the folks we need to pray for today. We need to make sure that we pray for Preacher Ann Cindy. And then make also that you, that we, and again, most of you, if you're on the prayer chain, you already know this. Betty had to send Dina to the hospital this afternoon. I left my phone on. Then I decided I better shut it off because someone glad to call it. But I was going to leave it on so I could read the text. But her blood sugar was out of whack. She was having a lot of trouble coughing. She was dehydrated. Now her oxygen count wasn't as low as Brother Perry's was yesterday when they took him in. I think hers was in the 90. But she was wheezing and having some real issues. So we're going to take some time to pray for her and others in a moment, but pray for Dina, and then pray for Betty. Betty also is sick, and then the thing that also is tough for Betty is she could not go to the hospital. Now they're not letting people go to the hospital with their loved ones. Mrs. Perry's not able to go see Al, and Dina's in the hospital now, and Betty's not allowed to go see her. So pray for not only the ones that's sick, but the ones that's praying and worrying about the sick, the ones that's close to them. Then also pray for Brother Lowry. I forgot to mention him this morning. I had all my papers somewhere, and I don't know what I did with them. I looked from this afternoon. I pulled them all out so I wouldn't have all the papers in my Bible for the funeral because I didn't want stuff falling out. And now I don't know what I did with all the prayer requests, but I know Brother Lowry needs us to pray for him and his kidneys. We also want to pray, as I mentioned, Al Perry. Talked to Mrs. Perry this afternoon through text, and she said that she hasn't talked to the doctor, but that he is doing okay, and again, that she doesn't need anything. If you try to call Betty, she probably will not answer your call. She may text you, but she just said that she's just so emotional she can't really talk right now. So if you would text her, those of you that know her, if you text her, that would be a blessing and a help to her. And then we always want to keep Brother Wynn in prayer. I mentioned preacher and Cindy. Cindy fell on Friday. I tried Amber this afternoon. I tried her earlier today and then tried her this afternoon to see if there's any update on Brother Nichols or Mrs. Nichols, but they're not doing very well either. Friday, Amber said, was the first day he'd kept any food down in several days, and that was oatmeal for breakfast, and I haven't heard anything from any of them since then. So we're going to pray for all of them. Is there anyone else that I have forgotten that we need to pray for? Anyone else? Brother Gary? Yes, I'm sorry. She's doing okay, but Margie has COVID as well. I forgot about her. She does have COVID. And I asked her again, and I texted her to make sure she didn't need anything. She said she was fine. And the doctors asked her if she needed anything, and she said she reminded them. And by the way, we want to always make sure we do this, but she told them I got, because they don't think she has any family here. She reminded them that she has a lot of family here. So again, I would ask if she needed anything, but it doesn't hurt you to check with her as well. Who else? Is anyone? Okay. Good. Any update on David? Okay. Was there anyone else? Was that when I saw your hand, it reminded me of David. Anyone else before we have the fellows come pray? All right, they're going to pray out loud. That means all of you get to pray too, but we'll just pray quietly and silently. Brother Milliken's going to pray. Then Brother Mike, if you want to come up after him, we do want to take a moment to pray for all of our loved ones. It's good for them to know that we love them enough that we take some time out just to think about them. So that's what we're doing it because you and I need to practice, and they need us to pray for them. So,
Brother Mike, whoever I forget, that's a long list in a pea brain mind of mine. Just pray. Father, we do love you today, Lord. We thank you for your many, many blessings and for your salvation. Lord, we are very needy people. We have so many friends and family that's sick with many different issues. We just pray now that you'll comfort them and also comfort the family as they go through these trials that they're going through right now, Lord. And we're all going through the same thing. They're all family to us. We pray for Brother Nichols and his wife and Brother Block and his situation with the loss of his wife. Margie Cools, she's got the COVID, as you know. We know that you know all these things, but we'd like for you to comfort them like only you can. And we pray that you'll be close to them. And Brother Perry, as he's in the hospital, and Mrs. Perry, and Dina Perry, and Betty Perry, and the gentleman mentioned this, I believe his daughter Amy, that she got the COVID. And Lord, we just ask you to be close to these people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as we are allowed to be a part of your heavenly glory, as we are allowed to praise you and lift your name, as we are allowed to glean from you as the preaching comes forward, Lord. And when those loved ones are our family, our church family, Lord, those that we see that their seat is empty and we see that they're not here, Lord, we wonder, Lord. That's why the prayer chain is out there to let us know what's going on. You say to be specific about our prayer, to be very diligent at our praying, Lord, to pray that without ceasing. We love you. We need you, Heavenly Father, as we are weak and heavy laden for our loved ones, Lord. Dina Perry and Mrs. Perry and those that have been stricken with COVID, Stephen and David and the breathing problems and the pain that comes with it, Lord, as they're going through it, Lord, as we worry and feel their pain, Heavenly Father, we need your healing hand to heal them up, Lord, to give the surgeons and those who are taking care of them the right things to do, to get them back on their feet, to get them back in church. There is so much we need to give you, Lord, and giving you our life is all that we really have to do, Heavenly Father. And you said you would comfort our mind and comfort our heart as we go forward for you. But we miss them, Lord, here in church. We need them back in church. We love you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So now if you know how I feel, because not one of you forgot, I just remember what I was praying there for Brother Moss. So now if you know what I like when I don't write stuff down, because all of you had a chance to remind me and you did not. So you are just as guilty of being forgetful as Brother Block. So there. I'm going to skip one of the songs tonight. So we will continue. We'll do the old account was settled in a minute. Let me go ahead and take care of the announcements. I figured it'd be better to take some time to pray than to do another song. Miss Reese, that is for me. If you can grab either Christina or someone after church, go buy Panera Bread and pick up a couple of soups for Betty. If you call her, she'll tell you she doesn't need anything, but if you would go by and just drop it off and hug her and tell her that all of us are praying for her. So I don't know what kind she likes, but I know my wife, that was one of the places she, how many of you go to Panera Bread? I don't. I mean, well, I did when I made pickups for Mrs. Block. She would call them in and pay for them on the app, and I'd go pick them up, but she likes the soup. I'm not a big soup person, unless they put a lot of meat in it. I guess they probably don't call it soup after that. But I want you to don't forget to pray for. And again, if you're wondering whether the preacher has anything to eat, we have checked with him. And also Friday, the lady sent. And when I say that, I mean that seriously. They sent a clothes basket full of food from the funeral. So all of you that brought food to the funeral also provided 2-3 meals for the preacher as well, besides the folks for the funeral, and we appreciate that. But again, they do have enough food and stuff, and Amber had just went to buy, when I talked to her that afternoon, she just went to buy groceries for them, so they're doing okay. But again, don't forget to keep all these folks in prayer, and as I mentioned, Brother Moss as well. Stuff coming up, and again, be back in our places Wednesday night for prayer and Bible study, and then that's at 7:30, so Wednesday's at 6:45. Saturday bus visitation at 9:30. What we probably will do in the near future, Mrs. Gallardo had ladies sewing in at 10:45, and then there should have been some other guys that come as well, and she just didn't feel comfortable. We wouldn't want a lady, something with men involved as well. So we're probably, I'm going to talk with Preach and see what he wants to do, because now there's several men that come sewing at that time. What we'll probably do is just try to get you to get out of bed a little early on Saturday and go to the bus meeting at 9:30, but then go sewing from there, and you can either visit on the bus route, knock doors, and get people saved on the bus route, or you can go ahead and continue knock the doors where you was at. I know you was on the valleys over here behind where Ponchos used to be. It's not Ponchos anymore, but we will probably just combine the two sewings on Saturday. Then back in our place at Sunday school, 9:45, church at 10:50. Upcoming stuff, again, don't forget, August the 13th and 14th, which is this Friday and Saturday, we have a meeting. Sean, I remember what that was now. Go walk around, check all those air conditioners, make sure they're all set on 70, and get me a tithing envelope when you get through with that. And that's, I remember when I went in my billfold to give Mrs. Reese some money to buy Panera Bread, I thought, my tithing envelope. So, but again, don't forget the 13th and 14th. Now, everybody's invited. You don't have to be a teenager to go to this. It's not just for teens. It's the whole family is welcome to go. The meeting is Friday night. Starts at 7. We'll go till 9. And then Saturday they're going to have a 10 till noon And that will be some teaching and preaching. And then they're going to have lunch. And then from 2 till 4, they're going to have some game time out in their gym. And last I checked, it was going to be some type of bombardment. They're not playing volleyball this year. They're playing dodgeball. So unless that changes, that will be what they do from 2 to 4. And then it gets over 4 o'clock on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday. Then also October the 3rd through the 6th, that's a Sunday through a Wednesday, Brother Cora will be with us, and he'll be with us during that time. So again, we want you to make plans for that and make sure you're in town during that. Mentioned this morning when I walked in this morning to check, there's still some stuff in there. There's gingerbread, orange juice, beef stew, cranberries. In the fellowship hall, one of the families in the church brought those and donated them. So if you can use those, you are welcome to have those. So take advantage of that. Let's all stand back up. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing "The Old Account Was Settled." And we'll sing the first, second, and the last verse. And whoever the ushers are, the last verse is when you come down this evening. And you can come down any verse you want to, but we'd prefer the last verse. But first, second, and the fifth. The old account was settled. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, a failure not regretted, you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Brother Price, I'm glad you joined him. I think they was looking this morning, but even if AI would have came down the aisle, I don't think they could have seen him. He was in the middle aisle. He may just have to jump like that when he comes down the aisle so the other ushers can see him. But again, we appreciate Brother Price, and he's going to come pray for us. Something else I was supposed to announce. I was just thinking, for those of you doing upstairs and in here, we will sing. The song that we'll sing will be the very next one on the list. We'll skip the last song. So if you're getting stuff ready, we will sing "Wonderful Words of Life" for those doing the next song.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful for the opportunity to be here again this evening, Lord. And just thank you for the blessings that you give to us, Lord, on a daily basis. And thank you for this opportunity that we have to give, and pray that the offering will help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Charlie, do me one more favor. Count that, make sure when I was in the car, I think my mind was working right, but count and make sure that that's the right amount that I put on there. Maybe I should ask someone else to check on that. Charlie likes to give me a hard time. You guys want to sit down or stand up? All right, let's stand up then. We're going to sing "Wonderful Words of Life." sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Thank you. May be seated.
I'd just like to thank God for His grace and for His mercy. And I thank God for His judgment too. Because there wasn't anybody else around that I know that fell under the judgment of God like I did. And I just cried out, God save me, amen. I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find for me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change a leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Something all of you can help me with. If you, like this morning when Douglas ran out the first time, I couldn't catch him the first time. He just jumped up and said, going to the restroom. And so I can't follow him out, but if any of you are sitting toward the back, when he goes out, one of you men, if you'll follow him out and just ask him to sit in the fellowship hall. When he came back in, I knew he was going to come right back down the middle aisle. At the invitation time, that's not a problem, but it's distracting otherwise. And then that wasn't the end for Douglas this morning. Apparently, I've been having stomach issues too. So I slip out during church. You're just going to have to think, there goes Douglas. But again, he slipped out a second time. Again, so if you can help us with that, I already talked to a couple guys individually, but if you're sitting in toward the back, and I don't want you, if you're down front, I don't want you slipping out. You'd be just as distracting as Douglas. So please don't leave the front to go in the back. But if you're sitting in the back and you see Douglas go out, if you're wondering, will he come back in and come right back down front, the answer is yes, 100% of the time. So if you're saying to yourself, I wonder if he'll come, maybe he'll stay out there. Douglas, I always joke because he's my oldest teenager. Douglas is in his 40s probably. 38, 39. So, I mean, again, I always tease him being my oldest teenager. He's been with me since he was, 12 or 13 in the youth group, and he's been with us all those years. I appreciate his faithfulness. The truth is, I wish some of us would be as faithful to the Lord as Douglas is. But when he has to go to the bathroom, trust me, he has to go to the bathroom. And it didn't help that he drank a bunch of drink this morning before church started. But again, if you'll help me with that, that would be a help and a blessing. Let me find out something else. Some of you planned on playing ball tonight. All right, we will play ball tonight after church. Do you bring clothes? Okay. Because we were going to do a choir practice afterwards as we were going to do. We're singing Saturday at the youth conference. Our teenagers are, so we were going to practice after church. But I thought, well, we can still practice Wednesday night, and then we can even practice Friday if we need to. But we will have music practice for those singing Saturday sometime after church on Wednesday night for just a couple minutes. Won't take long. They sounded good this morning. Sean's loud, so he did his job. How many of you were scared when you walked into church and heard Sean yelling? I was scared. They're doing a song they were practicing a song that they're going to do Saturday when our teenagers sing at the youth conference. And so we'll practice that Wednesday night, and that way we can still play ball tonight. So grab your King James Bibles. Brother Nick's going to come. Enjoy the message this morning. I don't know if he's doing a continuation. I had to do that the other day, Brother Nick. I preached half of it in the morning and half of it at night. So whether that or a new sermon, pay attention and you'll get a blessing, Brother Nick.
Well, what a blessing to be here again this evening. And I just want to say thank you for your prayers for us. I know a lot of people are praying for us for our trip up here. And I'm telling you, it's getting worse. They call the highway between Monterey and the border, Nuevo Laredo, they call that highway the Highway of Terror. And because of all the carjackings and all the assaults that happen on that highway by the drug cartels. And so they've taken control of it, basically. And by getting through that highway there, it's just by God's grace. Amen. And so we're thankful for your prayers for that. And on this trip, we stayed in Saltillo, which is right next to Monterey, and then we got up early in the morning to come to the border, and most of the violence and all those things happening after noon. So that's why we spent the night there, so we could get an early start. And so they were coming through Monterey, and the car in front of us just slammed on their brakes, smoke coming out from their tires, and they hit somebody in front of them. And we're traveling probably around 60 miles an hour going down this three-lane highway. And then next thing we did was we looked behind us to see what's coming behind us. And I hit the brakes and everything, but we were concerned about the big 18-wheeler behind us. And all we saw was white smoke coming. He's locking them up too, seeing what's happening ahead. And Patty said, it's clear to the right. and I just floored it and got out of there and went on. And that semi, when it rested, it came up kind of sideways and only a few feet behind the car that was in front of us. So we would have been in the middle of all that. But it's God's grace. Someone's praying for us. And it's God who sends those angels around, you know, and said, I got to keep this lane clear for Brother Nick because in just a few minutes he's going to need to use it. Okay, so, I mean, God's good like that. Amen. And so we really are very thankful for your prayers. I want to, we'll do a continuation, amen, of this sermon from this morning. And I'm going to start off. We talked about this morning. We talked about the two prodigals. Okay, the younger and the older. The older, obviously, being the good prodigal, did everything right, but his heart wasn't right. And a lot of Christians, we try to do the right things, but our heart just is not right. We are not serving God. Most Christians that are selfish are we just serving ourselves. And whatever we do, it's for our own self-interest and all that. That's not the mind of Christ. And that's not what God's goal is for us. And so I'd like to start off with Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 1, if you would, in your Bibles. And we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. And I apologize for being choppy this morning and probably tonight. We just got out of Mexico, so my mind is still thinking Spanish, and especially when I'm preaching. So if I slip out a few Spanish words and all that, just go with it. Amen. And just say amen and pretend like you know what's going on, because that's what I do most of the time anyway. So the Bible says here, if there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That means putting others first. Me last. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. What an encouragement, what a blessing. Please fill our hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me in a very special way. We've come with needs. There may be somebody discouraged here. There may be somebody not knowing what to do next, Lord. There may be somebody here facing some really tough decisions coming up. There may be somebody under a lot of pressure right now. And I pray and ask, Lord, that there's people that are probably watching at this moment. They can't be here because they're sick. I pray that you'd speak to each one of us in a very special way. Give us what we need tonight, Heavenly Father. We've come here for you. And I pray and ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us in a very special way. And I pray that our hearts would be joyful and comforted, knowing that you are in control of everything going on around us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here, in it, the Bible says, and what Jesus is saying here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to kind of title this one. It's kind of like a second point here. The mind of Christ in you. About the older prodigal son. Let me just say this. It's more important to recognize who you are instead of what you do. A lot of times we identify ourselves by who we are by what we do. But we need to identify ourselves by what Christ is, who Christ is. And that's who we identify ourselves with. You see, you can have works without love, but you cannot love without works. And a lot of people think, well, I'll just do the works part and everybody will think that that's love. Well, that's self-interest. That's selfishness. That's not the love of Christ. Look at 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says here, 1 John 4:19. The Bible says here, I'm over in Revelation, 1 John 4:19. The Bible says here, we love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And that's the mind of Christ, that we love each other. Amen. And we love our neighbor. And it's more important to recognize who we are, who you are, instead of what you do. Amen. Because, you know, I'm telling you, when I see those verses there in Psalm and reading, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And I think to myself, well, I'm trying to do good, but it's not our goodness. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the goodness of God. It's by His grace. And let me say this, in order to go soul winning, to work on a bus route, to work in a Sunday school class, to win souls, you know, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. And it is our privilege that we get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let this mind, the mind of Christ, let it be in you. We need to have the mind of Christ. I'd like to explain what the Bible is saying and how, in a very practical way, that what is the mind of Christ. Let's see what the mind of Christ is. Let me just say this. I'll just give you a little hint. It's right here. It's right here. 66 books. Around 40 authors, all of them in conjunction, in harmony, every book, nothing contradicts itself here. This is the Word of God, and we have it in our hands. Let me just say this, it's not just the Word of God, this is the mind of Christ right here. This is Christ. The Bible says that He's the Word, amen, and the Word was with God. This is the mind of Christ. When the Bible says keeping our eyes on, let's go there. I'm getting mixed up here. Okay, let's go to, I'm trying to think in Spanish now. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And I'm wanting to spit out some Spanish, so if it comes out, I'm just going to let it rip, okay? Remember, do me a favor and just say amen when it happens, okay? The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter number 12, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth beset us, which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was joy, did you see that joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, if you'll see here, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me tell you this. It's not looking around. Okay, where's Jesus at? You know, right here is Jesus. the author and finisher of our faith. It's the Word of God. And we need to have this in our minds. Amen? And Jesus needed to go through Samaria. This is the mind of Christ. He needed to go through Samaria. Think about that. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. The Jews treated the Samaritans worse than they would treat their own pets, than animals. They did not mix. You talk about racism, that was racism back then. And it was heavy and hard. And then all of a sudden Jesus says to his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. Let's go over there, John chapter number 4. Let's see the mind of Christ. John chapter number 4. And verse number, John chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, John chapter number 4 and verse number 4. It says here, and he must needs go through Samaria. And then we go down to verse number 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. And neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that saidest thou truly. He knew all about her situation. He saw her desire and her need to be saved. Amen. And she had a desire to be saved. Amen. And this woman that he won, this woman, the Samaritan woman, to himself. Now, the disciples, they weren't all excited about this. They were quiet. They weren't talking to each other. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, the woman, and upon this came verse number 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? You see, they were still in training. These were disciples. They still hadn't had the mind of Christ. And the Bible says, And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then the Bible says here in verse number 30, Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the mind of Christ. To do the work and the will of God, his Father. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And then if you'll look down at verse number 39, the Bible says here, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They got it. They got it. They got a real good dose of Jesus. Amen. And they got it for 2 days. Amen. And what a blessing that is. And Jesus won many of the Samaritan men to himself there. The mind of Christ. Practically, Jesus says that the first and greatest commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Look what it says over here in Luke chapter number 10. Let's see what this looks like in a practical sense. Luke chapter number 10. The Bible says here in Luke chapter number 10. You see, the older brother, he didn't have this. He didn't have this. He didn't have the mind of Christ. He had his own mind, his own will. He had his own ambitions. He had his own self-interest first. And unfortunately, as us as Christians, we can fall into that. Any one of us can fall into that at any time. Are you with me? Look what it says here in Luke chapter number 10 in verse number. Let's start here with verse number 29. The Bible says here, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." He was, you know what this man did? He was he went down and he was on the highway of terror. These drug cartel people got a hold of him and left him for dead. Maybe they even thought he was dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And it says here, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbored unto him that fell among thieves? The one that was left for dead. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, and then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. That's the mind of Christ, practical. In action. That's what he wants to see us. That's what he wants to see in us. That we will love our neighbor. You see, this guy that was down and out, he was coming along and he was attacked. Usually whenever people traveled these highways, they traveled in caravans, and it was safer because they wouldn't attack a caravan as easy as they would a single person. And so if you were a single person walking along there and on this highway between Jerusalem and Jericho, if you were on that highway by yourself, I mean, it was just assumed you're asking for it because you know the conditions. Well, no one really knows why, but this man must have had a good reason to be on that road by himself. Maybe there was an emergency. Maybe he was trying to get home to help out his wife or maybe somebody was sick and he was trying to get them medicine or food or something. I don't know what it was, but he fell among thieves and they tore him up and they left him for dead. Now, if I could, I'd like to have five young men that could come up here and help me with this illustration. I'd like to just show you something. Five young men. Okay, Brother Peugeot, you're young. Okay. Anybody else? Amen. We've got 2, 4. We got one more. One more. Do we have one more young man that could help us out? Just one more. And I sought for a man among them that should stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Okay, come on up here. All right. All right. Anybody tired tonight? Is anybody tired? No. Did you get a nap this afternoon? All right. Okay, Brother Adam, I want you to lay down on the ground for me, all right? He didn't get a nap this afternoon. We're just going to let him get a nap now. If you want to turn over and just act like you're in a mess there, okay? Left for dead. This is that poor soul. The Bible says that 5 people walked up there, and there were 5 people involved in the life of this man right here. And this tragedy and the victim, he was on that road alone. He probably shouldn't have been alone, but whatever the reason was, it must have been a pretty good reason why he was on the road alone. Now we have the priest in verse number 31. The Bible says here, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Here's the priest. Okay. Now this priest, you see, he didn't have the mind of Christ. He's a religious man, but he did not have the mind of Christ. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 6, let me just show you what happened to you and I whenever we became saved. I just want to show you what happened to you and I when we became saved, when we trusted Jesus as our personal Savior. Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible says here in verse number 6, "And He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." He hath made us, what is that? Kings and what? Priests. So here's this priest. He sees this man in great need right here. Obviously, he's in bad condition. You see, this priest did not have the mind of Christ. Whatever he had going on in his mind, it wasn't Christ. Because if he had the mind of Christ, he would have stopped and found out if this guy was okay, or maybe helped him out or did something to help him. But he saw him and he went around the other way. He went around the other way. This priest did that. You see, this priest didn't have the mind of Christ. He still had a selfish mind. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, Galatians, Ephesians 2, verse number 1. And the Bible says here, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You know, quicken means become alive, to become alive. "And who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this," what? "World. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." You see that? Of the mind. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." He still had a worldly mind because he didn't care about this guy over here. You see, a lot of people, Christians, if you would, Sean, come with me. See, a lot of Christians avoid going soul winning. Why? We don't have the mind of Christ. Are you with me? It's not that, you know, it's not that we want people to go to hell. It's just that we don't have the mind of Christ. We're not filling our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. We're filling it with a bunch of other garbage that's out there. And I'm not saying that it has to be something sinful. What I'm saying is, it's a distraction from filling our minds with the mind of Christ. Reading our Bibles and praying and obeying the Word of God, filling our hearts with love and songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, this priest, he did not have that. So you know what he did on Saturday morning? He just kind of went around this man and just kind of avoided him. Go ahead and go on back to where you were doing there in the world. I'm sure maybe you're watching a game or something like that, right? Yeah. And I know Sean was at the bus meeting yesterday, so we'll keep that going. Then the Levite. Now, he looks guilty. This guy has a face of someone who's guilty here. This Levite. Come on up here, Mr. Levite. This man is a religious man also. And, I mean, he goes to church regularly. I mean, he's there and everything. But he's more concerned about himself. He doesn't have the mind of Christ. He's avoiding this. He's avoiding trying to help somebody. And it's a bad thing to have happen. But I want you to know that we're in the end times and this kind of thing is going to be more common to us. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible says here, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible says here, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, as this Levite has, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. You see, this guy came up. He's a religious man, but you see, he hasn't put on the mind of Christ. He does not have the mind of Christ. His mind is in the world. His mind is in his own pleasures, whatever he likes to do, the things that he loves to do. And you know what? I'm late for the game. And the Olympics, the gold medals they're going to give them out tonight. I just want to see who wins. So he avoids them. Go on, Mr. Levite. Go ahead and avoid them. He doesn't have the mind of Christ. You see, the older son, the elder son, he didn't have the mind of Christ either. He would have been concerned about his... Now we have the innkeeper. Hey, Mr. Innkeeper. He had a part in this too. He did have a part in this. He could have said, hey, Mr. Samaritan, you got one of my Jews, and that's a very rare thing for you to do. And for helping me, don't worry about giving me anything. We'll take care of him. No, no. He wanted everything he could get. You see, he had a worldly mind as well. Who knows if he was even saved or not, but the innkeeper, his mind is on trying to get money. His mind is on trying to get advanced in this world, his business go forward, and him live comfortably. Are you with me? A lot of Christians are like that too. We don't have time for these kind of things because we have our own self-interest, whatever it might be, ahead of what God says that we should do. So, Mr. Innkeeper, he's just going to get all he can for himself. And then we have here this little Samaritan. Cute little guy. This little Samaritan here. You know what? This Samaritan was a man. He could have been the man that was living with the woman that got saved at the well. Maybe he got saved and was so happy and they ended up getting married, he and the woman at the well, and made things right and got his heart right. And he's just so thankful for what God had done to him and forgave him and gave him a new life, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. You see, his mind was set on Christ. And I mean, it was a short period of time. The grace that God, that Jesus, being a Jew, came to us here in Samaria. He came to us and I received Jesus as my Savior, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Who knows? Jesus might have even performed a wedding that day when the 2 days that he stayed there. I don't know. But I'm sure that that woman, she probably said, you know what? We need to get married. But here's the Samaritan. And he sees this guy. Now, I don't know about you, but you don't have a package of Band-Aids on you, do you? You don't have all these wraps and all that. But you know what? He probably didn't have any of those things. He had a few things on him. But he probably took off his own shirt and bandaged up this guy. He took his own money and made sure that this guy was taken care of. And he wanted to make sure that this man knew that he was loved by somebody. And somebody cared about him. and nobody else cared about him. Maybe he saw up ahead that the priest, oh boy, there's a priest up there. Oh boy, there's somebody else up there. There's a Levite. There goes a religious guy right there. And then this Samaritan comes up there, and they're all crossing the street and walking around the other way. What's going on up there? So he probably went down and said, hey! And he tried to help this guy, and he got him to the inn. He put him on his own camel, whatever he had there, and took him on to the inn. And he left money to take care of this man right here, doing whatever it takes. You see, that's the mind of Christ. He said, which of these showed love to their neighbor? And it was him that had mercy. You see, if we don't have the mind of Christ, we cannot have mercy on others. It'll be cruel. We'll be cruel to other people. And this poor guy right here, he finally found some help. But when he realized it was a Samaritan that was helping him. Can you imagine? The mercy, the grace that God showed this man, the only one that cared about me, wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the Levite. It wasn't the brother over there. It wasn't that innkeeper either. He's a Jew too. They wanted everything they could get. This man, he gave it all so I could make it. Isn't that something, how God shows his love? You know what? He chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He's chosen you and I to have his mind so that we can make a difference in these people's hearts and lives. Thank you, guys, very much. Amen. Did you get a nap that time, Brother Adam? Yeah. Man, appreciate it. $5 later on, okay? Amen. That was it, practically. We're not going to get the mind of Christ by watching TV all day or playing video games or being on the Facebook all day or movies and all that. I mean, I'm not against those things. But I am for getting the mind of Christ. We're going to get that at church. Coming in fellowship and being together. We need the mind of Christ. Each one of us need to encourage each other in being faithful. There are people that are writing and that have been sick and that have the COVID. You know how thankful they are that we're praying for them and we want the best for them. We're helping them and all that. They know that they have a family that loves them. That's what we're supposed to do. But you know what? Those are people we know. Those are people we know. We're supposed to love the ones that we don't know either. And they're all around us. They're all around us. They're all these streets here. They're full of, these houses are full of people that have a great need. And you know, the devil has left them almost lifeless, hopeless, left them for dead. And you know, maybe some people don't want to hear about the gospel, but there are some that do. But we'll never reach them until we get the mind of Christ. That older brother, he wasn't there with his dad. He wasn't there with his dad waiting for his brother to come home. He didn't run out there with his dad when his brother came home. You know what? He got angry. He got angry. Oh, they're asking me to go soul winning? How dare they ask me to go soul winning? Or work on a bus route? You know what? My father-in-law, he worked on the bus route for over 30 years in this heat in San Antonio. And, I mean, he's getting older now and not able to get out there as much as he was able to before, and very, very, very little. But you know what? People need to step up. People need to step up. We need to put on the mind of Christ. Oh, there's my father-in-law right there. I was looking for him. I couldn't find him. The younger generation. There is a generation that are righteous in their own eyes. We can't be that older brother. We can't be that selfish one. We have to realize that there is a lost and dying world out there, and someone's got to reach them. It's not going to be the innkeeper. It's not going to be the guy that doesn't have the mind of Christ. No. Christians, we don't need the mind of the world. We need the mind of Christ. And right here it is. Right here it is. I want to challenge you tonight to put on the mind of Christ. that we will absorb and saturate our lives and our hearts with God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and blessings, your mercy and grace.